Heavenly Father, as we think about peace at Christmas, help us to have soft hearts and open minds to listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, everybody. There's a few new faces. So for those that I haven't met yet, my name's Chris. I'm the rector here at St. Mary's. It's good to see you here and come and have a chat afterwards. So peace is quite a theme at Christmas. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah. He's coming. His kingdom is peace, and he is the prince. Blessed are the peacemakers, says Jesus early on in his life on the Sermon on the Mount, his big sermon that he gave. Blessed are the peacemakers because they become children of God. We become part of God's family by making peace on behalf of God. And at the end of his life, towards the end of his life, he said, "My peace I leave with you," in that reading we've just heard in John. But it's different. It's not a normal sort of peace. It's not as the world gives it. It's a very special sort of peace. Paul says that it's a peace that can reign in our hearts, that can rule us, a peace that can direct our lives. And Peter, when talks about peace, saying we need to seek that peace, we need to pursue it. The angels in the Christmas story, as we'll hear tonight, greet the shepherds, "Peace be with you, don't be afraid." And further back in prophecy in Isaiah says, "Swords will be beaten into plowshares." In other words, the RAF will drop aid and not bombs. So as we think about the coming of Jesus in Advent, peace is absolutely central to what it's all about. Jesus opened his ministry by saying the kingdom of God is at hand. And he told us what the DNA of that kingdom was: meekness, righteousness, mercy, and peacemaking. This peace clearly goes beyond what we normally think of as peace in the natural world. Jesus tells us not to love only our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, our friends, our family, but also to love our enemies. And when there's injustice, to meet it, and even violence, to meet with forgiveness and prayer and blessings and forgiveness for our enemy. We are to attempt reconciliation. Peace is at the center of the mission of the Messiah. Peace on the planet, a really sturdy peace, a really different sort of peace. Jesus implored his disciples to work for peace. That's you and me. We are his disciples. We are being implored by Jesus to work for peace in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, in our world. So how seriously are we taking our calling at Christmas? Are we engaging with this peace that Jesus wants us to do? Peace is not a sort of slushy thing that we see at Christmas. Often we see it in the fairy tales and the stories that we read at Christmas. There's this sort of slushy peace. But peacemaking is not passive, it's active. It's a work, it's a craft, it's a thing of beauty which we engage with. It's not just an absence of conflict, for example, where we're just between wars but still hating the other side. It's not just being undisturbed. It's not that sort of negative thing. It's a positive state where our whole lives, our whole communities, our whole world are transformed by Jesus in the presence and power of God. So peace has got one thing in common with war. It needs a strategy. We need to work for it deliberately. It must be waged. Peace, we must wage peace. It must be intentional. We must throw in our wisdom, our heart, our minds, our imagination. In our video earlier on, somebody had to take a risk and make the first move. Now, it was only a temporary peace. It was only a day or two. But somebody took that move bravely. He didn't even take his rifle with him when he went up over the trenches to offer a sign of peace to the other side. We know that conflict is really wrecking our world and wrecking our relationships. Whether it's families, whether it's churches, whether it's nations, conflict is a really dangerous and destructive thing. Nothing guarantees poverty, does it, like a conflict over a boundary. We see that again and again on the news, the refugees, the people moving to another place to escape the war, leaving everything behind. We see civil wars in Africa right now, killing off health and industry, killing off education and housing. And of course, we see what's going on in the Middle East with Iraq and Syria, where IS is beginning to be a very, very dangerous beast indeed. We can expect there to be suffering for generations in the Middle East again because of what is happening there now. And in this, Jesus calls us to work for peace, starting with our own relationships. He says, to whom much is given, much will be expected. That's us. Almost certainly all of us come into that much is given category when it comes to our ability to offer peace to the world. We need to listen and submit to God. Are we in that mode this Advent? The rewards are great. Isaiah prophesies that if we give ourselves to God, peace will run like a river throughout the world. That peace will just engulf everybody and everything if we really give ourselves to Jesus. There's a professor of international peace building, believe it or not, at Notre Dame University. And he's a Christian, John Paul Lederach. And he says that aiming just to resolve conflict is too low an aim. God wants conflict transformation. He wants people not just to be able to live with each other, but to actually love each other as a result of the peace. And we've seen great people involved in that, haven't we? Desmond Tutu in South Africa, he wasn't just happy enough just to get the black people having a vote and the ability for some sort of ability to live together. That wasn't enough for Desmond Tutu. As a bishop, he felt that he had to do something deeper than that. And so we had the peace and reconciliation committees and so on that brought together people where they faced each other, faced their past, faced their bitterness, faced their enmity, and turned their back on that and built new relationships under God for the future. And we see that happening with the brave vicar of Baghdad, Andrew White, at the moment, as he seeks to try to navigate his flock, his dwindling flock, in Baghdad through the troubles. Disruption in our relationships is inevitable. All of us will have disruption. All of us will have conflict in our lives. But by the Spirit, God's Spirit, we can look upon those moments as opportunities to strengthen our relationships. An opportunity maybe to thank the other person even, to appreciate the other person. Debbie is here to speak. You can speak to Debbie afterwards, but my experience in our marriage is that those times when we've had the most conflict, when we've dealt with that transparently, face-to-face, courageously with each other, that is the time when the marriage has grown, when we've moved on to another sort of level of relationship. The biggest turbulence will often bring the biggest transformation. There was some pretty serious turbulence in the Bible with Jacob and Esau. Esau had his birthright stolen by Jacob with the help of his mum. And Esau's reflex was, I'll kill him. If we don't find that prompt reconciliation, that desire to do harm to someone quickly gets in there. We move away from each other quickly. We avoid each other. Anybody recognize this in their lives? Time becomes an incubator for resentment. Bitterness sets in. We demonize each other. We say that person is all bad. And really, it's our heart that's become hateful. And things keep getting worse unless there is a turn. Unless we invite God into our lives to change that bitterness, a change in our spirit, a change in our mind, then there is the possibility of a movement back together again in the other direction. It might begin with a simple prayer, which creates a seed of faith that you can move towards the other person. Your heart softens. You start to realize they're not all bad. And in fact, I have to own some responsibility myself. In fact, I might even think I've done worse than the person myself in the past. If we let God work, let God speak, supernatural things can happen in our relationships. In Genesis, in the end, Jacob felt so terrible about doing that to Esau, taking his birthright. And he was thinking, Esau must be so mad at me. And he was right, he was. But God invoked a turn in Jacob's life. He wrestled, he had to wrestle with God. Jacob wrestled. And God said, I need you to go. And meanwhile, he'd softened Esau's heart. And there was an encounter of forgiveness. We read in the Bible there of reconciliation. These things may not happen in one sitting. In rugby terms, it might be about taking 10 yards at a time towards a peace, towards a better relationship, towards something that is transformed. But if we take those steps, eventually the relationship is stronger than it originally was. They say, retail analysts say, that if you buy a car from a garage and you don't have any problems with it, and it's sort of 7 or 8 years later and you decide to buy another one, if you've had no problems with it, the chances are you won't feel very loyal to that garage that you bought it from, and you'll go and buy something somewhere else. But if you've had a few problems and you've had to take it back, and there's been some sort of understanding about whose responsibility it is, and the things have been put right, then the relationship is stronger. And you're much more likely to go back and buy a new car from that original garage because of the service they've given you. Problems are an opportunity to grow. Whether it's a problem between us and God, us and each other, or nations and nations, these problems are actually opportunities to grow, for our relationships to grow. Have we got the courage to walk towards and take the risk of reconciliation? Not as the world gives, but as God gives. So there's two challenges in Advent. The first is, if we have any disruption or conflict in our lives personally, to have the courage to admit it, to have a basic level of honesty, to allow God to care for the condition of our heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to create a turn in our lives, to help us to admit that, yes, I played a role in this conflict to some degree. For the sake of peace, make a move towards rather than a move away. Otherwise, how much longer will it go on? To your grave? Why not take a turn today? I've met some people who've been angry with their relations for generations. And it's so terrible. God wants us to come back to each other and admit and turn. And God will fill us with his Spirit if we pray to help us do that. But the second challenge is, you might have had a disruption with God. You might be here this morning and you might not feel at one with God. Maybe somebody has let you down. Maybe a pastor has let you down. Maybe I've let you down. Maybe some other Christian has got under your skin and you've turned your back on God. And God hasn't ever moved away. He's still at the gate waiting for you to come back, waiting to run towards you as you come back. God has already made his turn in Jesus. God's handed us reconciliation with him in Jesus. He's already holding his hand out. So all we need to do is turn. And we could have an encounter with God, a reconciliation with God. Paul says the fruit of salvation, the fruit of a relationship with Jesus, turning our back on our past, is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God, what an amazing thing to be promised. After the resurrection, Jesus says to his disciples, peace be with you. And then he says, the Holy Spirit will come to live in you. The two go hand in hand. Peace is available to us, but it's really built by the Holy Spirit in our lives. It implies an inner transformation given by God. So if either of those challenges, or maybe both those challenges, apply to you today, I'd encourage you to think about it over Advent, over Christmas, and start to make those moves back towards God and towards each other, using all the resources that God gives us through his Holy Spirit. Can I invite you to pray with me now? Father, we thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, that you demonstrate that through Jesus, being born at Christmas, living, dying, and rising again on our behalf. We are sorry that we have moved apart from you. We've blamed you for things in our lives. We've got angry with you, Lord. Help us to turn and to walk towards you, knowing that you are already walking towards us in Jesus. Please fill us with your Spirit so that we can be reconciled to you. And Father, in those relationships where we have conflict between each other, between our families, between our neighbours, we long to see reconciliation. We long to see peace at Christmas, a peace which the world can't give, but which you can. Please come into those relationships, Lord Jesus. Take us on a journey of forgiveness, of love and friendship, a journey of peace. Thank you, Father. Amen.